ICICI Direct and Money Control present Path to Financial Freedom.
Hello and a very warm welcome, everyone. Today we are talking about investing. Now, we all know about investing and how it can help meet our goals, protect against that unplanned exigency, and help achieve our financial freedom eventually. This session is designed to provide you with the foundational principles of smart investing. Now, I know for some people, investing can seem daunting with its charts and jargons and constant market fluctuations that people talk about. But the truth is, it doesn't have to be complicated. By understanding some key concepts, you can confidently begin to build and grow your financial future. And as part of our Path to Financial Freedom series by ICICI Direct and Money Control, this podcast is with Mr. Pankaj Pandey, who is the head of retail research at ICICI Direct, and he will give his views on how and when should one get started and answer some interesting queries that we all have from time to time when it comes to investing. So welcome, Pankaj. Welcome to this very interesting session that we are hosting for our audiences. The first question is a very simple one. When should one start investing?
So India is one of the best performing markets globally. While there are a lot of options available for investors, but India, according to me, is experiencing one of the best macros. The corporate balance sheets are the best what we have seen. Even the household debt is quite balanced, and which is why I feel that the overall consumption plus capital expenditure by households and corporate is expected to sustain. So India is going to experience a lot more durable growth rate going forward, and which is clearly getting reflected in the market performance as well. So in terms of markets, I think India is one of the best markets to be into in terms of investing. Now, one simple approach for markets could be that to sort of invest over a period of long time, because that will help us in terms of capturing the compounding effect. Now, compounding is considered to be the eighth wonder of the world. A simple calculation could be that a Nifty return of 14% usually doubles or would double in a five-year time frame, whereas when you look at a fixed income return of say 7%, that will take about 10 years to sort of double. So India is India's growth story is one of the best ever which we have seen. So I think India is one of the best markets to get into at this point in time.
Right. You know, this is one of the questions that come to everybody's mind when we talk about investing, which is how should I align my life goals with investing? Therefore, it leads to the second question, which is what percentage of one's income should be invested? Because a lot of times youngsters say, oh, I don't have those many very lofty goals. People who are in the mid-level, they say that, oh, there are so many expenditures, how do I align my investments with what is happening in life? Of course, there are a lot of people who keep wondering about have I saved enough for my retirement, etc. So what percentage of one's income should be looked for investment, and what percentage should be looked to keep liquid in case of any emergency, or while keeping an emergency fund, so to say, because everything can be so unpredictable as well.
So usually for some liquidity purpose, one can keep two to three months of their expenses in liquid instruments, and another probably 1.5 years or 2 years of expenses in fixed income. The rest, everything can be in equities. So age is really not a factor. It is more to do with what individual requirement one has, because overall, equity is the only asset class which can deliver double-digit returns. So which is where a maximum possible allocation towards equity is what the best combination could be for any investor. And again, it is also a function of what kind of risk one can take. Because when you look at a large cap can typically correct 10 to 12% every year. And that is what we have seen historically since, say, 2007. Mid caps usually offer higher return, but they can correct, say, 15 to 18 odd percent every year. And small cap, although they offer the highest return, the correct extent of correction in small caps could be about 25% in a year. So it all depends on what kind of a risk appetite one carries. But overall, our sense is that the equity is one of the better classes to be into if we are in a wealth creation mode.
We were talking about types of investments, and again, there a lot of people have confusion. How much should be invested in equities? What should be the ratio of within equities? What should be the ratio of mutual funds? Some people very strongly believe in diversifying their portfolio by looking at assets such as real estate or gold. So there is a lot of confusion with that, and there's a debate about that. And then, you know, a lot of times it so happens that you see other people and then you start to decide your own risk appetite, whereas it could be very different from other people. So ideally, is there a ratio or is there a some kind of a math that can help people in where should one be investing and how much?
So there are typically two modes what one can follow. So one is the wealth preservation mode. In wealth preservation mode, typically the objective is to keep the wealth at intact levels or possibly protect against inflation. So there the allocation towards fixed income can be higher. But generally, when you look at, we have a fairly young population, which is below 30 years of age. So wealth generation mode is the preferred mode. For that, I think equity is one of the best asset classes to be into. Now you can invest in equities either directly or indirectly through mutual funds, or you could get exposure towards equity through a fund, which is ETF, where investments happen in a certain weightages format. So again, whether it is direct equity or whether it is mutual fund or whether it is ETF, I think one can look at investing. And again, you can tap a larger or a broader universe for investing. So for example, when you are sort of investing in a Nifty ETF, you're looking or you are allocating your money towards top 50 companies in India. So from that perspective, overall, again, individual instruments one can choose depending on what kind of bandwidth they get, because when you are sort of choosing direct equity, now in direct equity you need to sort of do a lot more homework, and whereas in case of mutual funds you park your money with one of the best fund managers and allow him to sort of take the course, or in ETF you are largely sort of investing through a fund, and again there the performance of that particular ETF is going to be dependent on the kind of the benchmark fund which it carries. So again, all of them meet the same perspective. It is just that the routes are different.
Right. I know you have already spoken about this, but this is one question that people want and want an answer to a lot of times, that within equity and within mutual funds, are there some specific sectors that they should be looking at? How do they educate themselves about what is happening in the market? Is there a way to understand when to relook at the portfolio that you're already holding? How often should you be doing that? So these are some of the questions that come to us when we specifically talk about equities and MFs, and within them also, how should you be allocating? And of course, the best way of educating yourself about the markets.
So I think when you look at in terms of process, see, equity is again a combination of maths and science and behavioral science as well. So it's not a perfect math which works, and which is why it is extremely important that the process becomes extremely important. Now, we really do not have any control in terms of the kind of input what we get, because we live in a dynamic world. A lot of things keep on changing on a daily basis. Similarly, the output also keeps on changing. So what is our under control is the process, and which is where the research brings that kind of a discipline. Now, again, in research, you have various teams. You have something like technical analysis, which again is a study of, say, price and volume. Whereas on the fundamental side, you have a study of, say, a lot of financial variables plus external, internal variables. And then also you look at the kind of shaping up of the business which can happen in future. So whether you're adopting a combination of technical or also a fundamental, again, the process part is extremely important. Because process is something which is what one can control, and which is where when we look at, so my team covers 200 plus stocks, And we bring a lot of process, a lot of discipline in terms of how we analyze stocks. And it's not only about stocks, even in mutual funds also, so which is where it becomes extremely important. So if someone is sort of investing individually, I think while you can get the same outcome or same result or same upside in a stock or in a mutual fund, but eventually it is the process which is extremely important. I think in equity market, it is all about making less mistakes because when you are taking a lot of intuitive calls, it's all about making less mistakes and you can minimize those mistakes by adopting processes.
One of the questions that also a lot of times come from people is how do I select my relationship manager, or how do I go about finding a financial investment advisor for myself? Are there some questions that we should be asking or looking at, or the profiles we should be looking at before selecting this advisor for ourselves?
So it is extremely important when you sort of seek the advice of a wealth manager is that they make you a lot more organized. You become a lot more process oriented because you can get same output by investing yourself or even through mutual fund. But when you avail the services of a relationship manager or a research analyst, so while obviously they'll come up with lot more ideas which you can capture, be it in terms of the kind of mutual funds which you can buy or the equity stocks which you can buy, but they also, along with that, they also bring in a lot of processes. So your thinking or your approach towards your investing becomes a lot more organized. And in that process, you make relatively less mistakes, and which is where the wealth creation also happens. Because in case if you are really not taking the advice, it is possible that you make you commit a larger mistake, and which again sort of impacts your overall corpus creation in a longer time frame. So availing the services of RMA is extremely important. As a ICICI Direct research team, we cover about 200 plus stocks across capital, across sectors. So there are about 16, 17 odd sectors, and across caps. So across large cap, mid cap, and small caps. Similarly, in mutual funds, we cover most of the top mutual funds, and we meet fund managers. So it's not only the price performance is what we look at. We also look at how they are positioning themselves, even for the changes in future as well.
You've had a long career of foreseeing the markets, meeting a lot of clients, etc. What, in your opinion, are some of those myths that need to be busted, or some of the most common mistakes that even the best of people make?
People expect that equity markets are volatile, and which is why this is not the place to be into. While this is true for a shorter time frame, 2-3 years, but when you sort of elongate the horizon, or when you make the horizon more than 5 years, 10 years, or even longer, equity markets are relatively less volatile, largely because structurally, if your economy does well, which is what the case with our economy, and largely the equity markets are going to replicate the overall earning growth. So if as an economy we are going to deliver positive growth, which is what the overall setup is like, and which is where we feel that equity markets are going to be a lot less volatile. That is one of the myths. Then I think one perspective is that people expect that they need multi-bagger in their portfolio to sort of generate wealth. I think the overall investing can be kept very simple. Any stock which delivers, say, 15% CAGR kind of a return or a sustainable return is a good stock from a portfolio perspective. Because if you are getting 14-15% kind of a return, typically the earnings are going to get doubled in the next 5 years. And even if the valuations are rich, you will still get a positive return, far more higher than the fixed income as a category. And the other thing is that people think that one should not be really chasing high PE stocks, and those are to be avoided. I think it all depends on what kind of context you are seeing. So in a commodity business, the PE multiples for any company will be higher when the earnings are lower. And that is not the time to avoid some of these companies. So again, you need to understand that which part of the earning cycle are they? Are they early part of the revival of the earning cycle, or are they at the peak? Definitely, if they are at the peak, high P multiples is something where things can become a lot more challenging from a return perspective. But if it is a down cycle, one should not really get worried with high P multiples. So, and P multiple is obviously not the only parameter which is being looked at from an investing perspective.
Before I let you go, one closing comment will definitely has to be about how people who are sitting at the periphery, what is the easiest way for them to start their investment journey? And also to the ones who are already invested, any word of advice for them for the next few years as to how they can maximize on their investments?
So someone who's starting their investing journey, I think they need to understand that if you are young, see, return is something which is not in your control. So it's not a controllable variable. So whether market gives you 14% return, 20% return is really not in your control. What is controllable variable is the investing period. So you have the investing horizon with you. So the sooner you start, the better it is. Because what it also does is that it allows you to sort of make mistakes and also do possible course corrections as well. And for doing that also, you need to do a lot of reading in terms of, so I think one of the common things what one can read is the business papers. In addition to that, you have websites like BSE and NSE. A lot of companies disclose a lot of information in terms of annual report, also in terms of presentation. Those are very informative for anyone to sort of read. And it is important that you develop a thought process of your own and not really necessarily rely on a tip, because not every point in time that tip is going to work, or the person who has given you that tip is going to be available to sort of or to advise you further. So which is why it is extremely important that develop a thought process of your own. And mind you, it is a lot more rewarding when you do that.
Thank you, Pankaj, so much for joining us today and for giving us all these insights. Thank you so much. Well, we hope this session has demystified the basics of investing and inspired you to take charge of your financial future. Remember, every investment, big or small, is a step towards your goal. So stay informed, stay patient, and keep growing your wealth. Thank you.
ICICI Direct and Money Control present Path to Financial Freedom.